This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Chris Whitman, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Chris, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. I'm your host, Tim Keller, along with me, as they always are, Tyler Gunther and Chris Whitman. Tyler, why don't you go ahead and go first? How are you doing today, buddy?
Good. It's good to be back. It's been a couple weeks. Finally getting the swing of things with the new kid. He's doing great. Mom's doing great. The sleep, probably not on your level yet, Tim, but we are getting pretty close. But my wife is a saint. She's letting me sleep a little bit. And yeah, it's all good.
That was going to be a great, that was going to be a question I wanted to ask. How's the sleep going? But if your wife's helping you out, man, more power to her. That's awesome. Chris, how about you, buddy?
It's been a fine week. By some miracle, Israel is in the World Baseball Championship and actually doing well. And I'm enjoying my time here. It's a nice intro back into baseball. Although, of course, football is my main sport. Baseball is the one I was better at growing up, so I do have an affinity for it. And watching an underdog team like Israel do well makes me feel nice inside. So it's been a fine weekend.
I have to say that hat is pretty sweet. I got to say.
I got the little flag over there. Yeah, it's they sold out. Like New Era only had like a couple hundred, and they sold out immediately. And getting a hat in my size is really a pain in the ass. And so, I was one of the only ones that got them. They're sold out like forever. They're not going to reissue them or anything.
That's awesome. Wow. Did it come with a side of hummus?
No, it did not. It would have been crappy hummus.
Sabra.
Sabra's awful, man. That's serious. That's an insult to hummus. Don't bring that with him up.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say last year that happened to come up, and I think it hit a switch with Chris, and I have never seen somebody so mad at hummus, but that is when I learned Chris knows his hummus. The hummus game is Chris's.
I was going to say, Chris gets defensive over hummus like I do of imitation cheesesteaks. So, Chris, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest today, and we can get into the intro and get the show moving, man.
Sure. So today we have Matt Price, also known as the Zookeeper. Why don't you give an introduction about who you are, why you're called the Zookeeper, and just a little background about who you are and what you do, and more details with the animals the better, I gotta say.
Yeah, man, how's it going? Really good to be on the show. Big fan of you guys and what you do, but I've been writing for DLF for about 2 years now and just joined the podcast team back in November, December, so I've been on there quite a bit lately. Been a lot of fun. I also have my own podcast, Zookeeper Stories. You can find it on iTunes and on Stitcher and on zookeeperstories.com. On there, I talk about my job, which as a day job is a zookeeper. That's kind of my hashtag brand on Twitter. I've seen people follow me more for like the animal pics and videos than the fantasy football advice. But hey, you know, I'll take what I can get. On that podcast, I basically stole Matt Harmon's idea for Backyard Banter. With his blessing, of course, and basically transferred that over to the zookeeper world. And I interview zookeepers about how they got to do their job. So we get that question a lot, just like, you know, we get Twitter followers say, hey, man, how do I write? Same thing as zookeepers. We do a keeper talk or a training session or something, and people want to talk to us about it, too. So thought it'd be fun to kind of do that as well. So I'm a zookeeper. I've been doing that for 17 years now. I work at the San Diego Zoo. I work with any given day, I could be working with lions and jaguars. I could be working with polar bears. I could be working with gazelles and antelopes and stuff. So it's a really nice mix that I'm doing right now.
You currently work at the San Diego Zoo?
Yes, I currently work there.
Okay, one thing. Very jealous. You live in Southern California. Fantastic up there right now.
The weather is ridiculous.
Yeah, and the San Diego Zoo is awesome. It's beautiful. I visited while I was out there in the service. It was the first time I ever got to see two tortoises make love. Fantastic.
Yeah, the Galapagos do that over
the Yes, show. They do. It was every 3 to 5 seconds there was a little thrust and a and just constant drool. He was drooling the whole time.
When you live 150 years, you know, you gotta take your time.
Yeah. The funny thing is that reminds me a lot of me. A and B, how you're saying on Twitter a lot of people come to you for zookeeper and all that. at least you got that. Like, I don't have the dynasty advice. I think the only thing people will come up to me for is like what type of SPF I should use in the sun if I have like frail skin. That's probably the best thing I've got. I mean, Chris has hummus.
Okay, now that we have the intros done, let's get into some of the advertisers, and then we'll get into today's meat and potatoes of the show. So our first advertiser is Sitter Start app. It is the premium app for all your Sitter Start questions. It is the off season, but that doesn't mean football ends or the Sitter Start app is not there to help you. So stay in tune with everything going on from free agency to the combine and so much more. Download the app today. You will not regret it. And then our other sponsor, RSO, Reality Sports Online. Have you ever wished to be an NFL general manager? Well, now you can, thanks to Reality Sports Online. Reality Sports Online is a powerful fantasy football platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy teams like NFL general managers. Reality Sports Online was created by former NFL front office personnel and features revolutionary free agency auction room, which mimics NFL free agency, enabling fantasy owners to negotiate and sign NFL's top talent or to single or multi-year contracts. And that's definitely something we're going to talk about here, the free agency period. The platform can host up to 32 teams, has tons of other cool features in addition to free agency like a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, injured reserve, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Test your general manager skills today for free for 14-day free trial at realitysportsonline.com. If you like what you see, use the promo code HAPPY10 and receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real over at realitysportsonline.com. So now we got all that out of the way, let's get into what today's show is about. We brought the zookeeper on. So we're going to talk some animals. We're going to relate some of these rookie players to some animals that you might see. They don't necessarily have to be in a zoo, but we figured we'd keep it animal themed today. But of course, free agency is going on. It was hot and heavy just a few days ago, so we want to hit on that first. So Chris, the floor is yours.
All right. So what I did was here, I put some contracts and some player movement. And I admit, first of all, the Alshon one, that's not including the bonuses. So first one up, over to Matt. Alshon Jeffrey to Philly. 1 year, prove it contract, 9.5 base guaranteed more or less, and then up to 14 with incentives, Pro Bowl, catches, yards, things like that. Does Alshon become the number one in Philly ipso facto? Is it just kind of just, you know, that's just the way it is?
Yeah, I mean, unless you believe and still believe in Torrey Smith, you know, I don't know, man. I think I kind of like Alshon there. You know, I was really hesitant at first. I was like, oh, really a one-year deal, man? You know, you got the soft tissue injuries and all the other nonsense going on. But, you know, I kind of like that he's betting on himself. That kind of makes me want to buy him more in Philly. But maybe that's, you know, me holding on to my couple of shares that I have and just hoping and praying that, you know, they're gonna rematerialize there. But I do kind of like it. I think that he might use that as motivation. If he can stay healthy, then, you know, he could lock up a long-term deal somewhere else. It was a little bit of a surprise that he didn't take a more of a long-term deal from Minnesota. I heard they were working on something. But, you know, the quarterback situation, you know, I guess you can compare Bradford to Wentz. You know, Wentz is, I don't know, six of one, half a dozen of another. You know, I don't know which one of those guys are really better for fantasy in 2017. But I don't hate the landing spot at all.
Now, the question is, how many targets will this take away from Aguilar? I mean, I think that's one thing everybody's asking themselves.
I'm hoping at least all of them.
And also another thing, you got to watch what you say around me. I looked over my shoulders when you said something about how you didn't want to come to Minnesota. And yeah, there's a lot of angry Vikings fans the way they are approaching the free agency.
Yeah,
they should be. All right, speaking of the NFC North, Tim, we have Martellus Bennett going on over to Green Bay. This was kind of a shocker, honestly, at least to me. I didn't think that was going to happen. So Martellus Bennett to Green Bay, 3 years, $21 million. What does this mean for Martellus Bennett? What does it mean for Green Bay and fantasy in general?
What it means for Green Bay is it seems like they're going to become the Midwest version of the Baltimore Ravens. They're just going to stack 13, 14 tight ends and see what they can do with it. Didn't they also go out and get Lance Kendrick?
Yes, sir.
They got Lance Kendrick,
who I like, by the way.
And as far as I know, Richard Rodgers hasn't moved yet. So
no, he's still there.
So I mean, obviously, I think Bennett probably slides in as the tight end one there for Green Bay. So you got to like any tight end that's going to play along with Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers has never necessarily been that quarterback that has just forced fed a tight end. So I think Bennett probably should be valued as to what he did last year. I think that's a pretty safe baseline for him. Honestly, what it does mean for Green Bay, I really don't know. Green Bay has never been that type of system that's had multiple tight ends. They've always been a 3-4 wide receiver type team, spread them out and let Aaron do his thing. So I'll be interested to see what they're planning on doing with all these tight ends. That's for sure.
Now, Tyler, you get one of the more interesting players and signings in the free agency. You get Terrell Pryor to Washington on a 1-year, $8 million contract. I thought this was really surprising, and I think that's it's very interesting. So, I mean, what do you see with this? What are the implications?
Well, honestly, I feel like Josh Doctson, even though he ran a 4.5, this helps him out a lot more, because you got to remember Pryor is also a kind of down the field threat. And they lost that in DeSean Jackson. And I think this is their way of taking his spot, even though I get it's not, you know, the prototypical DeSean Jackson style receiver. But I think Terrell Pryor can do everything he can do and a little more. And I think it will help kind of release pressure off Doctson, because I think they want to give him a year to kind of grow as a receiver, because this is his rookie year. And I think he will have, you know, a couple hiccups here and there, and he needs to learn the pro game. But I do think this will help Doctson grow more. So as much as this hurt his value a little bit, I think it's a perfect time to buy Doctson. And honestly, I like this for Pryor. And if he fits well with Cousins, and this offense is just gluing with also Crowder in the inside in the slot, I think this could be a very good offense to watch out for. And I'm actually excited. I hope Cousins gets a long-term deal, because if they get a running back, like, say, Cooks or somebody like that, I mean, this offense could be a huge issue for defenses in that NFC East with porous defense.
All right, now, Matt, over to you. We have DeSean Jackson going to Tampa Bay. DeSean Jackson, if I'm not mistaken, actually has the most receiving yards of the past 4 years of any wide receiver that was a free agent, and he just makes nightmares for defenses and just allows other players to open up. I think the big story is, does this hurt or help Mike Evans? Should we expect his targets to go down? Should we expect DeSean Jackson to get a decent target share? I mean, what do you see as the pluses and minuses of DeSean Jackson going to Tampa Bay?
This is my favorite signing of all of free agency, honestly. This just seems like the perfect fit. I feel like they've needed that, you know, that deep speed guy. You know, they've got a very diverse set of receiving options now with, the ridiculous Mike Evans, 6'5", 225, whatever he is, 230 now, as the red zone target. You got the DeSean going deep. You got Humphreys and Shepard underneath. You got Brate working in the middle of the field. So I think this is going to be a really difficult offense for defenders to figure out. It may hurt Evans in terms of those deep balls, but he's such a gravitational force in that offense. You know, like Jameis is going to want to go to him still. So I think Jackson maybe is not quite as productive there as he was in Washington, but he's still a guy that can just blow open a game, obviously, on one play. And I think he's going, you know, pretty undervalued right now in terms of fantasy and especially dynasty right now.
I agree completely. This is actually one of the more interesting signings for me as well. And to go from one interesting signing to one horrible signing, Tim, you're up with Kenny Stills stays in Miami, 4 years, $32 million.
Yeah, I'm with you with the sentiment that I just wasn't a huge fan of this. And for multiple reasons. You and I both are big Parker fans. We saw at the combine, Adam Gase came out and was kind of shooting right at Parker, saying, he needs to grow up a little bit, needs to show up on time. So apparently there's some adulthood issues there with Devontae Parker. I don't think Gase has a problem with Parker's product he puts out on the field or the practice field. I think Gase would agree that Parker could definitely be a offensive weapon. It's just a matter of getting the gentleman there. What really kills this is you and I both were a little higher on Carew last year than most people. And with Kenny Stills there, I think we're talking an injury or something now to somebody before Neontae Carew could find himself on the field. Strategically, I guess this works well for the Dolphins. They use Stills well. I don't know. I'm not a huge Kenny Stills fan. I wouldn't have necessarily been in love with him if he would have signed with the Eagles, like there was a lot of rumors of. But I guess if Stills is going to go anywhere, this is a team that definitely has a need for him, and they already have a role. So good for Stills.
Yeah. Can I just piggyback on that?
Yeah.
They paid up to get Carew, and this was very confusing when they re-signed Stills, because they paid up to Minnesota to get Carew. So I don't get what their thinking was. Their management is definitely, you know, I feel like they're
amateur.
They're not being that smart and wise. I mean, they had Ajayi, and I get that worked. They sat him, but now they're kind of like dusting him off, like, oh, we might take a running back, and there's whispers that he might not be, you know, he might have competition. It's like, come on.
It kind of seems like somebody else, one person's doing the grocery shop and the other person's doing the cooking there.
Yeah.
And just for the record, his dead cap money this year will be 16, next year 13. So it's two years pretty much that no matter what he is staying. That's from over the cap, by the way. So Tyler, you're back up with Pierre Garçon here, who I think in terms of how much he will get paid per catch, will definitely make the most amount of money here. But we have Pierre Garçon going to San Francisco on a 5-year, $47.5 million contract. Woof. Yeah.
I think the story here is in the numbers, and it shows that Shanahan went to Lynch and said, he is one of the guys I loved working with. He's a guy that I connected with. I want him. And Lynch is like, okay, we'll get him. And of course, Lynch is a rookie as in the GM spot. So he obviously overspent. And for a period of time, I don't think we can expect Garçon to be there, the full contract. Maybe, but he'll be what, 36? But yeah, it actually shows me that Garçon could be had for cheap in Dynasty, and it could be a good deal to get, because it just shows that Shanahan probably said, this is my guy, go get him, and that he's going to use him. I mean, Garçon had his best career, or he had his career year with Shanahan, and yeah, this could be a great move. They just need somebody to throw him to, which, you know, I don't know if we have on the list, Hoyer. I think Hoyer is a guy that will get him the ball. I mean, he's an accurate quarterback. He's not, you know, the best quarterback, but he's a capable guy to get Garçon the ball. So I could see 80 to 90 catches, 1,000+ yards, 6 touchdowns or so. I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibilities.
I'm still holding on for Matt Barkley taking over that starting job from Brian Hoyer, but maybe I'm in the minority here. Next one up for Matt. This is you get the most interesting ones. This is Robert Woods going on over to LA for the Rams, not the Chargers, for 5 years, $39 million. I actually really like this one. I thought it was interesting that, you know, he actually got this much considering how little he's done. But I mean, the talent's there. The situation's not great, but there is a new regime in LA, and maybe this could turn it around. I mean, do you see Robert Woods being the de facto number one by week one?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else there unless you're still going to believe in Tavon, right? Or I liked Mike Bad. I guess is that Bad Michael Thomas? I liked him coming out. you know, so maybe he still has a shot. But you know, with Britt moving on, there is a huge hole to fill there. I liked Woods coming out of school. You know, he's flashed. But, you know, right now, the only thing we can look at him as is another one of those disappointing USC wide receivers. And please, Juju. Please break the trend for us so we can stop hating on USC wide receivers. But no, I like Woods. And I mean, if Goff can turn it around, there's some optimism from Gurley, at least with the new regime. So I'm open to buying him late. I think I'd probably spend around the same as I would have spent on him last year, you know, as an end of the roster guy. But I think there's definitely some upside there.
All right. Now, Tim, over to you, the player who is getting all the attention in our listener league. I don't know what genius owns him, but he's getting lots of offers. It is Mike Glennon, 3-year, $45 million, going on over to Chicago.
I was mildly surprised by this. After the Brock Osweiler experiment last year went as bad as it did, I thought these quarterbacks that were sitting behind other players there for a while were going to have some trouble in the free agency market. But Glennon seemed to have done well for himself. I think John Fox realizes that like his honeymoon period is over there in Chicago. So he needs to find something now. And I think Glennon's his best shot at it. I'm not necessarily in love with Glennon, but he's what, 18 starts, I want to say, he's had in his career. He's shown flashes. I have more trust in Glennon than I did in Brock Osweiler. That's for sure. Starting last year. So I think Glennon isn't just going to fall flat on his face. like Brock did. So hopefully Glennon can come into Chicago and make this work, at least make it worth the money.
All right, now, Tyler, on over to you. We have, this was an interesting one, at least to me, Kenny Britt going on over to Cleveland, 4 years, $32.5 million. What? Why?
I don't. RIP Kenny Britt.
Yeah, I don't get it. No, I don't even think it's RIP. I just don't get it. It just seems like counterintuitive what they've been doing otherwise with that team. So I just don't, I mean, a cap space, is that maybe what it is, Tyler?
I was very shocked by this because Pryor played well in this offense. And they could have signed him for the same deal. That's what is mind-blowing to me. They're the same age. Pryor knew the offense. He played well under Hugh Jackson. It was kind of mind-blowing in that aspect. I like Kenny Britt. I have for years. I don't know what it is. And after, you know, Hard Knocks, seeing how kind of a comedic guy he is, I thought that made me like him a little more other than football. But, I mean, yeah, that was really shocking that they gave him a deal like that when they could have just paid Pryor. That's the reason why I was mainly surprised about this deal.
Well, the Browns did something very interesting a little bit later, which we'll get to.
Oh, yeah.
So back on over to Philly, and Matt, you mentioned Torrey Smith. I think this is an interesting signing. I mean, what it does to the rest of the depth chart, well, I guess we're going to have to find out, but this brings an element that's been missing, I believe, from Philly for a few years now. And I mean, it's positive, no?
Yeah, I mean, it adds another weapon to them. It's just so crowded there. I mean, I think that other than Alshon, I kind of don't want any part of that offense right now. I just don't know where the ball is going to go. I don't know if Wentz has the big enough arm to take advantage of Torrey Smith. I don't know if Torrey Smith still has the speed. And, you know, he had that 1 year in Baltimore, I think it was 2013, when they started using him as more as just that deep threat, you know, using him all over the field. And I thought that he was going to be able to take that turn to be a true wide receiver one. But then we went to San Francisco and the rest is history. So I don't know. I really don't know what to expect out of this. I think he has such a wide range of outcomes for his fantasy season in 2017. He could have 900 yards and a dozen touchdowns, or he could, you know, just be a bit player and have a you know, one or two, like be like basically like Deshaun Jackson has in a lot of his career. So I don't know, man. I don't know what to think about this one, really. I'll toss it to the Philly fan over there. What do you think?
I absolutely hated this. This one came across like 10:30 a.m. the first day of free agency, and I understood the need for the field stretcher, but I mean, they got Bryce Treggs if they need a guy just to run the go route. I didn't see any value in Torrey Smith. The one that made my day came later with y'all, Sean. So
does this mean that we can go ahead and stop paying attention to DGB, or is he going to be a thing or what?
I think they saw enough out of DGB to realize that if this ever happens, it's going to be multiple years, a whole lot of work, and a whole lot of patience. So this definitely, I mean, with these two signings, I would hope that this just ends the Nelson Aguilar experiment. If he's going to do it, he's got to do it on the practice field first and then come into the games. We can't just be hoping he keeps doing it on Sundays because it's not working out for him. And yeah, I think DGB is going to be very limited. And I mean, I think it's a long shot that either one of those two guys work out.
Okay, now let's just get a quick vote here. Are DGB and Aguilar on the roster week one of the regular season, Matt?
I think DGB is. I don't think that Aguilar is.
Tim?
I'm in right there with him. DGB was traded for by this group of coach GM. The Nelson Aguilar was the old Chip Kelly first round pick.
Tyler?
I actually think it's the other way around. I think Aguilar he has kind of the more promise, more of a Jeremy Maclin type player. I know we've heard that all over, but that I'm kind of going to go the opposite route.
See, I feel like he had that off the field stuff, whereas at least Dorial Green Beckham has stayed clean in the NFL. I mean, I don't know what their work ethic is like. I guess not that good if he's still not working out. But I don't know. But you might be right.
I think I'm going to be with Tyler on this one. I think that DGB is a more likely one to be cut between the two of them, just because of the draft capital and the investment that's been put into him. But that's pretty much my only reasoning in terms of talent and what they put on the field so far. DGB has beat him, but not by much. So back to Tim, Brandon Marshall, 2 years, $12 million, going to New York Giants. I personally love this one. This one really made my day to see. What does this do to OBJ, Sterling Shepard, whoever their starting tight end will be in week one. What does this do to the offense in general?
As of right now, with the tight ends that are there, I think this pretty much takes a lot off their plates. The Will Tye, Larry Donnell grouping. If they were to go out and draft a tight end like so many rumors have them, then maybe if they can get one of these big name tight ends, and maybe doesn't kill them. I think they now have one of the most solid receiving cores, though, in all the league. They got the young guy in Sterling Shepard there, who showed very well in his rookie year. Odell Beckham, of course, everybody knows what he can do. And then Brandon Marshall, I think, still has a year or two of something left in him. So I think this deal works out great. I knew he wanted to stay in the New York region. He has that gig with Showtime there in New York. So I knew he wanted to stick around. I'm sure he just got somebody to come to the locker room and grab his bag and walk it over to the other locker room or something to that effect. So he didn't have to touch anything. He had to box anything up. He didn't have to worry about moving. I think this is going to work out well for both the player and the team. And I don't think it's going to affect Odell Beckham very much. They're two completely different players, especially at this point in Marshall's career. So I don't see it affecting Odell Beckham very much. If anybody, it's going to affect the tight end more than either one of the two receivers.
See, I actually think it kills Shepard. I mean, I think it drops him down considerably. I mean, as you know, I'm not a huge Shepard guy in general, but this one really is just one of those. I think that the Giants finally acknowledged that Sterling Shepard is not the player that they need for that spot. Obviously, Victor Cruz couldn't be it, and Roger Lewis is just not it. So they saw an opportunity to get a player that can fulfill a role that's much more needy to their actual offense than, let's say, the general NFL offense. Like, Sterling Shepard would be very well wanted and needed and on most NFL teams. But for the Giants, if you see how their offense actually runs, a player like Sterling Shepard is not that helpful. And that's why you saw him disappear for literally games on end. He would have one catch, two catches maximum. And just not really contribute much to the offense. And so I just think that they saw Sterling Shepard, and they just figured Brandon Marshall will at least cover them until they can find something better to fill that outside role, which is much more necessary than Sterling Shepard's role right now. I love the move. I think it actually puts them in contention to take the NFC East. I actually think that makes them much stronger in the playoffs. I think this is a really big move for them. They got off pretty cheap, honestly. I think many other teams would have been willing to pay more for Brandon Marshall than $6 million a year. But that being said, Tyler, you get an interesting one. Danny Wood head to Baltimore, $4.5 million guaranteed, 3 year, $8.8 million. That's a little odd since Kenneth Dixon's a Hall of Famer already.
Yeah, and it was funny because the news about Kenneth Dixon came out after the signing, and when they signed Danny Woodhead, I thought to myself, okay, something is happening with Dixon. I'm like, they wouldn't do this. I figured they maybe go out for LeGarrette Blount or somebody like that. But when they signed Danny Woodhead, I'm just like, God, something's not right. And then a couple days later, the Dixon news came out. I'm like, oh, come on. Like,
What was the PED? Do we know?
Adderall.
It was Adderall?
He actually didn't go to the league with a signed paper or something like that saying that he can take Adderall.
Oh.
Like, there was something like that, and he didn't do that. So it was just him being dumb and not getting the papers for it. And he would have been fine. He would have not have been suspended. He would have been able to take his Adderall because he might have, you know, ADD. But yeah, it was kind of a dumb part on Dixon. But yeah, I mean, Woodhead, I still think, has a little more juice left. And I think this is a good signing for Baltimore. I like this. They threw the ball a lot to their backs on the backfield. And yeah, I could see Woodhead kind of being that mid running back two in Baltimore. And when Dixon does come back, hopefully he can retain the first and second down role. But I mean, Woodhead showed he's really good in the red zone. So Dixon's going to have a very, very tall hill to climb when he comes back in four games.
All right, let's play a game real quick. So there's almost no way a Terrence West gets taken away from Baltimore. So Terrence West, Kenneth Dixon, and Danny Woodhead. Who is the most productive in fantasy in 2017? Tyler.
It's going to be Danny Woodhead.
Matt.
It's going to be whoever they draft. Like, they've already come
that
out.
That wasn't an option. Nope.
All right,
nope.
Fine.
No, that's fine. I just
give
that option.
I think they came out. I mean, who knows? You know, it could be all coach speak this time of year. But there was a press release that they said they wanted to find a playmaker or a draft a playmaker at the position. So to me, that says that they want to bring somebody in relatively high. But, you know, Woodhead's still going to have value. Obviously, he has value wherever he goes. So.
But then the question is, who they cut? I mean, I think we can all agree that Buck Allen's probably gone. But yeah. That means that's still made them three.
Come on.
I don't want that. I think Buck Allen's awesome.
No, but
okay. They can't cut. They're not going to cut Kenneth Dixon. Terrence West, they're going to have for, I think it's like $2.3 million. And then Danny Woodhead's $4.5 guaranteed. So, I mean, who are they cutting here? Are they going to carry four backs minimum? They draft somebody?
I would say they would probably have four with Dixon suspension. When he comes back, they might cut one. And it could be Terrence West.
All right.
Yeah, he played well last year. I mean, in stretches, you know, it was nice to see him rebound from those early games in Cleveland. But you might be right. I mean, they might draft someone to fill that role, and Dixon will have to wait a year to do anything with Woodhead and whoever they draft. I don't know.
All right, but now that we got the free agency out of the way, Matt, we had a huge trade. We had the Patriots send their first round pick, which is a 32nd pick of the first round, and their third round pick to the New Orleans Saints for Brandon Cooks and New Orleans' fourth round pick. What? Why? What does this do?
Why? First of all, how does New England keep brainwashing teams to just do whatever they want? Because wasn't earlier, like a couple of weeks ago, they said that they turned down just the 32nd pick. They're like, we're not going to do that.
Yep.
The Titans 18th overall pick. And now all of a sudden they're going to give the 32nd pick and a fourth rounder. Like, I just don't understand how, why do teams even trade with the Patriots? Don't you guys want to beat them? You know, there was also discussion that Malcolm Butler was going to go, and that didn't happen either. That would have maybe even made sense, but I just don't know. But in terms of Cook's fantasy value, I think I'm in the minority here, but I think his value actually decreases just because I think those boom or bust games are going to be even more frequent. Tom Brady spreads the ball around everywhere. We know that. People think that this is the end of Julian Edelman. I don't really believe that because that's kind of his buddy. That's his security blanket. You know, no Martellus Bennett, but they signed Dwayne Allen. So I think he's going to be a great best ball receiver, but I'm definitely less interested in Cooks now than I was in New Orleans.
Tim, how do you feel about Cooks now, before and after?
I think Matt hit it on the head there, where the Patriots scheme every week, it's a different game plan. So there's going to be weeks where Cooks will be featured and he will have great fantasy production. And there's going to be weeks where he's just not part of the game plan because they see holes in the other team's defense and the other team's players going against them that they can take advantage of. So it's going to be tough, you know, trying to make those calls for Cook's owners, getting him in your lineup the right weeks. But I think this happened because there was a report that Mr. Brady went to Bill and said, I want Cooks. So what Brady wants, Brady gets.
Tyler, any reaction here?
I am just sick of the optimistic Patriots fans saying every player fits in our system. Cooks does not fit in your system. You guys have a player.
Are you doubting Bill Belichick?
Well, okay, you guys are talking about how nobody trades with him, but everybody knows Bill Belichick is like the master Jedi and just kind of like waves the arm. And
so he's Obi-Wan Kenobi is what you mean.
Yeah, but better.
I don't know. I think Obi-Wan Kenobi is pretty awesome. But
yeah, he is. I mean, he's the ultimate Jedi.
Okay, does his value go up or down, Brandon Cooks?
Oh, way down. I'm with Matt on this. I think his value goes down, and I looked at all my teams, and I don't have any shares of them. So I feel like I might have lost an opportunity to sell high because obviously the Patriots fans are drooling over this. I still think I'm going to be on the other side of people. I think Malcolm Mitchell still has an opportunity to prove himself. They like him and he fits that system to a T. He is a good route runner. Brady seems to have a decent connection with him and trust him. I feel like Brady being 40, his arm strength isn't all there. And I don't know if he can get the ball to Cooks deep. And, you know, everybody's like, well, he can get it to Hogan. Hogan's not a 4.3 speed type guy. I don't think Brady's had this since Moss. And we got to remember that was years ago when Brady could get it downfield.
Mm-hmm. I got one more thing to add there, if you don't mind. Just to throw it out there. I put this out on Twitter yesterday and people seem to think I was a little bit crazy. But what if Cooks you know, he just doesn't fall in line with the Patriot way. You know, he had that those issues at the end of the season where he was not happy that Thomas was getting the ball and he wasn't, whether Thomas was getting the ball and he wasn't. So he could be even a worse situation there in New England. You know, it didn't really work out with Ocho Cinco. It didn't work out with Albert Haynesworth. It didn't work out with a lot of these big ego guys. Everybody wants to point to Moss and Dylan, but you know, it doesn't work out every time. So I think it'll be interesting to see if somehow he gets in the doghouse for complaining about not getting the ball enough.
I agree. I actually think that his real value goes down, but his perceived value temporarily goes up, because it's not just the Patriots fans. It's the people who enamor the Patriots and look upon them, you know, with glory, like this idea of everything the Patriots do is genius. I think these people are still overwhelmingly the majority in terms of fantasy players in general, and they're going to superficially and artificially inflate his value and keep it up. And I think this is a prime sell moment. I just think that New Orleans and New England are relatively similar in the sense that they're a general high floor in the sense of a season long, but week to week, you're going to be pissed. You're going to be pissed on a week to week basis. And I don't think it's going to be any different. It will not surprise me to see Brandon Cooks have zero targets in a week with New England, just like it didn't surprise me when it happened this past year in New Orleans. And I just think you're getting a lateral move, but with a perceived value increase among the casual player, as opposed to, I think, the average analyst, it looks at this as at least at best the same. Most people, I think, look at it negative. That's why when you said you're a minority, I kind of cocked my head to the side. I think that most people at DLF, most people, Dynasty Nerds, UTH, I think that we're all kind of in agreement that his value goes down. It's just a question of how much. And I think that's where maybe the disparity comes from. As opposed to more redraft, people are really in favor of it. They think it's fantastic. I just think it's very short-sighted. But now to the funny trade, and back to Matt. We have the Houston Texans send Brock Osweiler and their 17 sixth-round pick and their 18 second-round pick to the Cleveland Browns for the Cleveland Browns' fourth-round pick. You look at this at first, and you kind of go, that's not fair. But then you kind of realize, well, Brock Osweiler, what are you going to do? So is Brock Osweiler going to be on the team, let's say, by preseason?
I mean, I don't see why you don't at least bring him in and see if he can be better than what you have. I mean, you have him now. I understand it's an NBA salary dump, you know, but if you're there and you're not getting something, you're not getting a bonus for him for somebody else, you might as well see what you got, right? If you can absorb the salary anyway. So, but I love the move, honestly. I made the joke the other day to a friend that I don't want to play in a salary cap league with Shossie Brown and the rest of the Browns front office staff, because they're just working that budget, man. So, I think he probably is, unless they get a really nice offer. I bet if somebody throws him like a third round pick or something, I bet they take it. But otherwise, I bet he's there for at least a minute.
All right, does anybody here believe that Brock Osweiler will start three games on any team in 2017? Matt?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Painfully.
Tim?
I'll go with no. The Browns are trying to move him. I was reading an article earlier about how they're finding it difficult. Surprise, surprise. To find suitors for Brock. I do think Matt's right, though, that if they don't find somebody to just come out and trade with, it, they'll at least bring him in and be like, we've had worse here. It's Cleveland, so let's see what's happening.
Tyler?
I don't think he will, and I feel so bad for him, like, as an ego standpoint, because, man, like, that's just got to hurt.
His ego got him in trouble in Houston. He got that big payday and he thought he was God's gift. And apparently when they tried benching him, he had a big blow up in a confrontation with the coaching staff on week 17. So like, that's it. Yeah, that's the final straw. You're out of here, buddy.
He's not good. I don't think he has a chance. They will bring in a rookie in the first or second round that will be light years better than him. And I don't see him starting in the NFL. I think maybe if an injury happens, but yeah, I mean, I think you've seen the glory year of Brock Osweiler.
What about this? They end up just cutting him for a salary dump, and then Denver gets him back for free.
I was with you on the first part, but the second part.
Yeah, I don't think Elway wants him.
No, honestly, certainly not.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to go to our animal rookie draft. So the rules are pretty simple. We did this mock rookie draft about, what, 3 weeks ago? Four weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah, it was about
and
four.
So, of course, I wasn't listening because I was really busy this time, and we were told to basically, you know, we went in order. So it goes Matt, myself, Tim, then Tyler, and we do one round, and we do an animal and a reason for why this player is that animal. So, Matt, since you were lucky enough to get 101, who did you pick? And again, this was 3 to 4 weeks ago. Just everybody take that in consideration. Don't start.
I love this. I love that this was like 4 weeks ago. Like, do you know what was going to happen in the combine? Because this is outstanding.
Yeah, 101. He is still as my 101. Was of course Corey Davis. I just feel like he is the safest player in the draft. You know, even though we didn't get to see him run the combine and probably won't in the pro day, he has everything that I want on tape, and you know, not really any of the question marks except for really level of competition. And I think you can explain away some of that by just the way he was a target on the field for opposing defenses, being double and triple teamed constantly. You know, so he doesn't worry me at all. Two of my favorite things about him are his explosion out of breaks and those ridiculous hands. There was one play against Central Michigan that I saw where he made a catch and slipped, but he kept himself up with his hand on the ground and he just bounced back up instantly and just ran around defenders for a touchdown. So I compared him to a Safaka. So if you don't know what a Safaka is, think about Zumu. Do you remember Zubumafu? The little like lemurs that jump around. Do you remember that kids show?
They're these
leaping lemurs, and they live in on Madagascar, and they live in kind of a desertous climate, and they eat these succulents that are these big, they're not cactus, but they're kind of like cactus, big tall trees that have thorns all over them, and so they can leap like 15 feet from one to another and then put their hands in the perfect spot to grab on and not like get stuck on the thorn somehow. So that was my comp for Corey Davis.
I'm nice. So excited right now, like the honestly,
I wish we had pictures so we could hold them of the animals. That's what we should have done.
I had videos bookmarked. I didn't know if we could screen share or something, but if that would make sense for the audience, but I did have those.
I just got to say, I loved the idea of this episode, but doing it right now, like I can't take the smile off my face because I love this. I'm eating this up mentally. It's awesome.
All right. So at 102, I chose Dalvin Cook. At the time, I felt like I was getting a steal because Dalvin Cook was a 101 for, I would say, probably 80%+ of people. And at the time, again, I wasn't reading the rules, and I said that he reminded me of a Jaguar. And Matt's first thing was, you know, Jaguars aren't very fast. I said, yeah, I'll come up with a better one. Well, you know what? After the combine, I'm saying a Jaguar fit.
Perfect comp.
Absolutely.
He is not fast. He's not all that shifty. That's kind of what a Jaguar is.
Nailed it.
So now I feel like a genius. You're up, Tim.
Okay, so at 103, I took Mr. Leonard Fournette. Mr. Fournette, he's big, he's strong, he's faster than you think he's. Laterally, he's not going to, you know, wow you by any means, but he's not the type of guy you just want to stand in front of and take on head on. So I comped him to an American Bison. Big, strong, like really fast, especially for his size, like extremely fast for his size. And I don't want to take a Bison on head on. That's for sure.
All right. I do have to say, Matt, I tried to explain to him to give his animal comps for
as
well. Yeah. So I want to hear his for Dalvin Cook.
I had a tough time with Dalvin Cook, and I actually didn't. I know this is very disappointing. I did not come up with one for Cook. I thought about like a rabbit of some sort, but then he wasn't that bouncy at the combine. So I kind of like Jaguar now, honestly. You know,
there you go,
aggressive,
man.
Not too slow, but he's, you know, fairly strong. So I like it. And then for Fournette, we weren't too far off there, Tim. I chose Rhino. So kind of the same idea, big lumbering beast that's going to, you don't really want to stand enough. So,
All right, for my pick, we got to remember this was about.
We said it already. All right.
Good. Yeah. I don't like this pick at all. I've actually dropped him a good amount in our rookie rankings. I took Mike Williams at 104, and I took the chimpanzee. Long arms, not the fastest animal, large hands, and deceptively strong. So that was my animal.
Okay.
I'm interested to see if Matt agrees.
I can see that. They're not that tall is the only thing.
Okay,
I kind of said giraffe, but it's kind of loose. You know, it's kind of like a big, tall plotter. I don't think he's like, you know, he's not super fast, but he can get the job done with his legs when he has to. I don't know how well a giraffe could catch, I guess, but they could definitely go up and high point the ball with that height. So that's the direction I went, but I don't mind chimpanzee.
All right.
All right. So then Matt, you're back up.
Yeah. So I went a little bit off the board here, a little bit obscure
at the time, maybe off the board.
Oh, sorry. I should say who I picked first. I meant in terms of animal comps, but I picked 105 Christian McCaffrey. It was a really struggle. It was a struggle to not pick Mixon there, but just at the time, and we didn't know as much as we did, I guess, that he just seemed safer there. But we all kind of knew how incredible McCaffrey's agility and change of direction speed was. But I feel like some of the overlooked traits he has are his vision and his toughness. You know, I just love the way he sees the field. You know, he's so patient, and he seems like he can anticipate seams that it's even hard to see on tape. And also he's a tough and willing inside runner. You know, like, he's maybe not the most successful guy there, but if you need 3 yards, he's going to stuff it up in there and try to get you 3 yards. And while he might not be used that way in the NFL, I think he could probably do that without, you know, being that kind of quick guy that always tries to bounce it outside. I think he will actually try to stick it in there and get the tough yards. So the comp that I made was a mantis shrimp, which I know seems really weird, but let me tell you why. So mantis shrimp have the most incredible eyes of the entire animal kingdom. They have this thing called trinocular vision that gives them complete depth perception within one eye. So we have binocular vision, where we need two eyes to be able to judge depth and how far away things are. Whereas these guys, if they lose one of their eyes, they're fine. They can still hunt and everything. They also have 12 color receptors in each eye, whereas we only have 3. So again, going back to McCaffrey's vision. And then just to show how tough they are, they can actually take their claws and break a human finger in half with it. They can break the glass on an aquarium with it, and they can use it to get inside clams and shells and stuff to eat the mussels. So
that's awesome.
I know that's a little bit off board, but
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the star. I'm waiting for the star. The more you know.
Wow. All right. I don't know how to. I feel bad following you.
I know. I feel so bad for Chris right now because
it is what it is. All right. So at what do we got here? 106. I picked Juju Smith-Schuster, which I'm still fine with. I'm not going to just. I don't have to justify myself here. And I picked an orangutan. The reason why I went with orangutan is because orangutans are like 98% more or less of what humans are, and I feel like Juju is 98% what a stud wide receiver is. They're fast, but they're not too fast. But they're fast enough. They're unappreciated, but they're kind of cool animals. Like, they know what's going on. They're not dumb. They get the general landscape, you know. They only change when they have to, and you know, they do what they can. They're not overachievers. They're not underachievers. You know, they do what they got to do. Right? That's what I feel like an orangutan is. That's what I feel like Juju is. He's going to be, to me, a solid wide receiver too. And as long as you don't expect more than that, then you're going to be pretty happy with your selection. So that's Juju for me, orangutan.
I like it. I went a different way just because, you know, how he likes to celebrate after basically every single play. Mm-hmm. I went with a peacock because they're super showy. Like, the, hey, look at me, you know. So, I like orangutan too. Yeah, it's good.
Nice.
All right. So at 107, I was up and I took Joe Mixon. Now, some people want to kill Joe Mixon, just not even have him on the draft boards, not rank him at all. And some people want to protect him. They're putting him up there as the RB1 in this class. So with that, and I originally did have this comped out for Fournette, but I went with the Rhino for Mixon. Again, big guy, runs fast, has great physical traits. Nobody doubts the Rhino's physical abilities. It's just a matter of some people want to do the Rhino harm and some people would like to protect the Rhino.
Damn it, Tim. Damn it, yeah, there's too many rhinos.
I like that. I again went a little weird, I guess. I said a skunk because right now he's a little bit dangerous, and if you grab him, you might get sprayed and be a little stinky. No, Rhino is perfect. I hope rhinos can catch because Mixon's a hell of a receiver.
Yeah.
Maybe right. And stick right on the horn. They just run right under it, like sticks the ball right there. Yeah.
That's true. All right. Mine. I had Rhino for this one, but I'm going to change it. I had a backup, thank God. At 108, I took Samaje Perine, and instead of a Rhino, I'm going to go an elephant. Very, very sturdy animals, very prideful. It seems like Samaje Perine is one of those guys that is just all about the game, and I like that about him. And also, I think he's got a little grit to him. I mean, if you mess with an elephant's child, they are very feisty. And they will come after you. And I feel like Perine's got that nastiness to him, but doesn't show it. And also, elephants are very strong. They can lift a lot with their trunk. And Samaje Perine, of course, benched the most in the combine. Ooh. Boom. I just did that. just off the top of my mind, I changed it.
I was thinking elephant also, honestly, when I was looking at it earlier.
You just freestyled animal comp? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I just did. I never thought I would do that in my life. I'm going to cross that off my bucket list right now.
All right, let's see what Matt says.
I actually had wrote down two, and one of them was elephant. So we matched finally. Yes. The second one was silverback male gorilla because they are ridiculously strong. Sir Perine, P. Ryan set the record for the bench presses. So gorillas can lift basically a car. They can lift about 2,000 kilos. So they're ridiculous. So, but yeah, elephant's good.
Nice. Win.
All right, Matt, you're back up at 109.
Yeah, I have. I took at 109. I went ahead and took the first tight end off the board, OJ Howard. I had a tough call with this one here. I went with a wildebeest. They're one of the fastest animals in the world, like in terms of animals that are also big. So I thought Howard is big. Sorry.
I was going to say the size adjusted speed score.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. He was tied for second in the position at the bench press. Second in the 40, first in the three cone, first in the 20, first in the 60 shuttle. So wildebeests, they can run about 50 miles an hour, and they're also super agile and strong. They use their horns to fight off lions and stuff. You can go on YouTube and look up wildebeest fighting lions. It's pretty ridiculous. So they can do it all. So, and I think Howard is a special talent like that's going to be able to do it all for an NFL team.
Nice. All right. Next.
All right, Chris. You don't have to deal with like a one-eyed depth perceptor. You know, 12 color. You know, wildebeest is pretty easy. You got this, buddy.
What's funny is I actually thought about wildebeest for this next one, but that was if I actually believed in this player. So I have a 112 Alvin Kamara, and I picked a zebra. Because they should be faster than they actually are. They're shiftier than they actually are. But on video, they look like they're really good. But in isolation, if you were to take a zebra and have him do efficiency drills, he'd probably be underwhelming. Like when he's running away, when he's in real game time, zebras are pretty solid. You know, they can get away a lot of the time. Not all the time. They get caught. But they look pretty good. But by themselves, they look kind of flunky. They look kind of underwhelming. That's Alvin Kamara for me, because when you watch him play, he looks shifty. He looks elusive. He looks like he's going to break plays. But in the combine, I was wildly underwhelmed. And so that's the story of Alvin Kamara for me. He's a zebra. He's a player that I feel like it's gonna let you down.
I love Chris. I love your comps, because you are actually copying a zebra to like him playing football. That's what I absolutely love about what you're doing right now. And it is making my night so much better. I'm imagining a zebra full pads running away from defender.
what do you got for Kamara there, Mike?
I said a giant eland, which is pretty close to a zebra. It's not a equid like a horse like a zebra is, but it's a it's an antelope. So pretty close there. I like zebra better though, actually. And you're right, they can be pretty clunky when they're running around. But they look nice out there in the field running.
They're like donkeys when they're not being chased. As you'd like to be.
Yeah, donkey might be, but a wild. There's a animal called a Somali wild ass, so maybe that's a little more appropriate.
There you go, Somali wild ass. I like it.
Alvin Kamara will never come on this show.
That'd be my nickname. I want that as a nickname.
Somali wild ass.
Like a party nickname.
It's funny too. If you go to a zoo, if you go to a zoo and you see the sign, it actually says ass right on there. So kids are totally allowed to say ass. Nice. When I go to the zoo and see those guys. So
their parents are like, stop it. God.
Yeah.
So that was 110 there from Chris. So 111, I was back up, and I went with Malachi Dupree. And another animal got brought up earlier. I originally was going to comp him to the draft. So I'm going to switch it up here. I'll go with the centaur. I want to believe in Malachi Dupree that he's got good traits, that he can play football well, and that it was just the LSU system and the lack of quarterback production there that held him down, and that he's going to come into the league, he'll land in a decent spot with a comparable or better than comparable NFL quarterback, and he'll turn into this this majestic beast. But I don't know, like I watched Dupree's tape, and it's pretty limited because LSU just doesn't throw the ball a ton. But what I do see, I do like, but it's not enough for me to just completely fall in love with him and say for sure that he's going to be a monster at the next level. So
that is awesome. Fair enough. Spoiler alert, they're not real.
Just oh, they're real.
They're real and they're spectacular.
We're all half centaur.
Solid reference. Whoever referenced Seinfeld just then.
That was me.
Good job. I didn't think it was power yet.
I'm in love with the show right now, and I on air. I have to thank Chris. Thank you. You are a wonderful person to give out. You know,
Seinfeld consigliere.
Yes, I have no words to explain it. I absolutely love Seinfeld.
Just got into it.
You gotta watch Curb though if you haven't. I think it's better than Seinfeld.
Really? I don't. It's good, but eh.
My wife feels the same way, so you're on the same page with her. But for Dupree, I went kind of I don't know how to say it, but I went with a condor because it represents hope. You know, condor is kind of like California condor is like the species everybody used. Like, yes, we're gonna bring species back from extinction. You know, these guys got down to just a couple dozen in the wild, and now there's 400 or so flying around. So Dupree kind of represents hope for the position. You know, we love his measurables, we like his height, we think he's got potential, but we're just not sure. So we're just hoping that he works out for us and gives us a receiver that we can start.
Oh, by the way, I'm looking at this the Somali wild ass. These things are awesome.
Yeah, dude, they're really cool.
They have zebra legs.
Yeah.
You gotta watch out what you type too when you do that.
Yeah, you might end up on the wrong site. So Tyler,
or the right site. You never know.
So Tyler, why don't you go ahead and wrap this up, man? Who'd you take at 112?
112, I took John Ross, and my comp is a cheetah. He's one of the fastest animals. Very thin lower half, though. And he's not only fast, but he's also agile, but he's got smaller hands.
I like
that's what I put down.
Yeah, cheetahs is definitely the obvious pick there, and I had that written down, but I went with peregrine falcon, which is the fastest animal in the world. When they're diving, they can hit like 200 miles an hour. So I went there, but cheetah is definitely a solid answer. Obviously the fastest land animal.
Now I gotta check out this peregrine falcon too.
Say, you just got zookeeper, dude.
I know.
Did you guys see somebody put on Wikipedia, John Ross? Did you see that? Someone posted it, but someone put on Wikipedia the fastest land animal in the world is something called the John Ross.
I didn't see that.
I swear. Yeah, you go look. Wow. I don't know if it's still there, but someone posted it on Twitter, so somebody's got a picture of it.
Oh, this falcon's awesome, too.
we're learning.
Does all the feathers just like fly off them? Because if you're going 200, I mean, my hair is gone.
they actually have to have these they do tuck everything in, but they actually have these special bones in their nose called in their nares that actually break up the wind, because the wind is coming in so fast that if they didn't have these to like kind of break it up as it was coming in, they could actually suffocate because they're breathing too fast.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I don't know if any of this is interesting to anyone, but
I don't care.
Hey, the three of us are interested with it, so yeah.
I mean, you brought up tucking things in, and Tim instantly was like, "Hey, Saturday nights."
Yeah, love it. With that wrapped up our draft and our animal comps. So feel free to reach out to us on Twitter and share some of your animal comps there. With some of these players, or maybe a player that wasn't on our board that you'd like to put out there and comp. So Mike, thanks for coming on the show. Where can people find you? I'm sorry, Matt. Have I been calling him Mike the whole time?
No.
Okay. I apologize. Matt, you got me all excited with the tucking thing. Now, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at mpricer. You can find me on DLF podcast every week or two. We kind of rotate the hosting duties with myself, Nick Whalen, Dan Myler, and God, I'm so bad.
George
Pitikos. He's been busy with work lately, but we're hoping to have him back soon. So it'll be, we're actually recording an episode tomorrow with me, Nick, and Dan. So check that out coming up next week. And then of course, check out DLF. And at some point I'll start writing again. I haven't really written anything since the end of the season. But I have a couple things, brewing. So, check me out there. And then also if you're interested in hearing about zookeepers, check out the Zookeeper Stories podcast, zookeeperstories.com, also on iTunes and Stitcher.
You could also just do a zookeeper, like a animal comp article. That could be like,
yeah, that's actually what I've been looking at, honestly.
Nice.
That'd be an awesome one.
Feel free to use Centaur for Dupree.
I will. That's great.
I have to say we've done 50 plus episodes, and this has to be one of the most entertaining ones we have done. And it was great.
Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate the invite. It's been a blast.
Gannibals.
No, that was not creepy at all.
Chris is a cat guy. That's a
perfect comment.
Oh, I like animals.
Silence of the Lambs, dude. Silence of the Lamb, guys. Put the lotion in the basket.
See, I took it a different way. It seemed very like innocent and like almost childlike. I like animals.
Which is the opposite of Chris, because like the way he talks, you wouldn't expect to be people. Like, I love animals.
He hates people, loves animals. It was perfect.
All you needed was your cat in your arms, just petting at the top of the head lightly.
The long backstroke, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so that's this one was a whole lot of fun, guys. Thanks again for coming on the show there, Matt. Reach out to us on Twitter. You can find all of us there. Go over to iTunes, leave us ratings, reviews. Hopefully it's 5 stars. I would like to think that after this episode, of course, we're going to get some 5-star reviews off this. Go over to the website, dynastyhappyhour.com. Articles, rankings include, positional rankings, and then including the overall rookie rankings are up. We've updated our rookie rankings post-combine now. There is the DHH merch. Get yourself a t-shirt. These t-shirts just came in. They are awesome t-shirts. They're a 50-50 blend, comfy, high quality. I'm telling you, go out there, get yourself a DHH shirt. Now,
I need to cut you because we forget to keep mentioning, if you guys buy a shirt, us three need company during the draft. We are having a live draft episode. We need company, and two lucky people, very lucky people, are going to get a chance. We're going to put you guys in a drawing. If you buy a shirt from now to about a week before the draft, and if we draw you, you're coming on with us. You're joining us for the draft. I mean, last year was a great time. Tim, with your old podcast, it was great. We just went back and forth, talked about the picks, had a good laugh. I mean, we shared drinks. It was a good time. So if you buy a shirt or even donate, if you donate $10+, or if you buy a shirt, you will be in a drawing to join us for the live draft podcast, which would, I mean, that's like $500 worth right there.
Easily. So Tyler, where can people find you on Twitter?
At DHH Gunth.
You can find me at Tim Dynasty FF, and Chris.
You can find me at Chris Whitman 11. And I just want to give a special shout out to all the different members of the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast network. Let's see if we can get all of them here, because we like to forget. So we have the Dynasty Dummies. We have the Fantasy Insanity. We have Jet Set Dynasty. We have the Falafel House. And we also have the Trophy Time Gurus podcast. Did I miss anybody that time?
I think you got them all.
Fantastic. If you have not already added them to your podcast rotation, they are fantastic. Falafel House and Guru is a bit more of the redraft variety, but they've been delving a lot into Dynasty lately. I was actually on the Guru's show just the other day. You should go listen to that. I kind of take over the show and just start randomly talking, making up narrative about Samaje Perine being the biggest douchebag in the world, but like in a good way. I made up this huge narrative that Samaje Perine actually pisses on people as he runs them over.
And it got to the point,
because I was just saying, like, he's such a badass. And it got to the point where the other guys in the show just started assuming that this was somehow correct. And they're like, yeah. And so then after Samaje Perine pisses on the dude, then he goes in the end zone. I'm like, no, you do know he doesn't actually piss on them. I was just joking about that. They're like, yeah, of course we know. All right.
Actually, Chris, watch the tape over. Really, I bet there is probably 2 or 3 games in there.
So Alvin Kamara and Samaje Perine never coming on the show.
No, it's a shame, because I think we're probably the highest on Samaje Perine of any podcast.
No, that's a fact right there. I think that's a fact. All three of us love him.
But well, yeah, but back to
I think we have the inside track at landing the centaur if we ever find him.
I saw one at Comic-Con last year. I'll see if I can find him.
They're not real. Stop trying to make me believe. I just got over that fact.
Tim, Fletch is not a thing. It's never going to be. Just stop it already. Bad movie reference. All right, nobody got that one.
Yeah, that was what, Mean Girls?
Yeah.
Okay. Sam, I got it.
Check out the different podcasts. They're all fantastic. They all do a different variety of stuff. They're all year round so far. So highly recommend it. We all know that everybody's jonesing for fantasy right now. It's that time of the year, and a lot of the podcasts are turned off, but everybody on the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast network is going strong. So check them on out. Hit them up on Twitter. hit him up on iTunes, all different platforms. And yeah, that's me. There you go. Chris Witt 11. Beginning and end.
You can reach us at dynastyhappyhour@gmail.com. And then, of course, you can find us on Twitter and find us over at the website. Anybody got anything else?
Get your shirts, people. We need company. We need friends.
We need to not have Jason on the show.
Oh, God. Okay. We're not
even. There's somebody in the listener league. Help us out. We can't have him back on. Last time we tried to have him on.
Let's be nice to him. We're on air. He's nice. He's nice. He means well.
He does.
That sounds like something you say about your grandma.
Yeah. All right, you guys, we'll stop the broadcast. God, Jason is.
Jason, if you dress up like a centaur, you can have my spot on that show.
Because Tim is going to cry because they are not real and he's going to believe that.
Okay. All right. I think that wraps it up. Anybody got anything else?
Nope.
No, it's been a fun off season. Draft's coming up. Can't wait. Can't wait to spend it with you guys, except you, Matt, because you're not joining us. Because you haven't bought a t-shirt.
Oh, man. There's your chance. can I tell you guys that I am very sad that I did not join the podcast league after all that? The UD, what was it? The UDP?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so sad that I didn't. I just didn't. I had so much stuff going on at that time, and then I heard all the podcasts about it. It sounded like such a blast. So I missed out on that one. I apologize.
That was a rough draft. I mean,
yeah. Tim got his heart broken a couple times.
The tears were flowing.
Yeah.
And Chris and I were bathing in it, loving it.
So, all right, guys, that'll wrap it up for next week, and we'll be back. So, hey, go over and check out the Zookeeper podcast, because just on the outside, I'd have been like, yeah, zookeeping, really? But after this episode, I got to check out some zookeeping podcasts now.
you got a stalker, so watch out.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, you guys. Until next time,
draft, trade, win, repeat.
See ya.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at ChrisWittman11, at TimDynastyFF, and most importantly, at DynastyHHPod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.